And so I want to try to preach exactly what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. I have a place that I'm going to read from this morning. It should be very familiar, but it's going to kind of be what sets us up in our lesson today. You're going to be in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to follow you there in just a moment. But I want to read something that Job told us in the 19th chapter of that book. And it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not in other, though my reins be consumed within me." That's from Job chapter 19, and our lesson text is going to come from Romans chapter 8, if we can get back to there. I flipped it over before I was ready. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start our reading in the 28th verse. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Who shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. God gave rather, that is risen again, whom is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The title for our lesson this morning is going to be, "Can we really be once saved, always saved?" You know, that's a hot topic among people in the world today. Anytime that I tell people that I am a missionary Baptist, one of the first things, it always is almost always the first thing that someone says, they'll say, "Well, you believe once you're saved, you're always saved." Amen. And I'm like, yes, I do. I do believe once a person is truly saved that they are always saved. I do not believe that you can lose your salvation. I've known people that if you could lose it, they've been trying awful hard to do so. They have done things, I guess, that they thought if they could lose it, that would be one way to do so. But I'm thankful this morning that I do not teach, nor do I preach, nor do I believe that you can actually lose your salvation. I went to a church a few years ago to fill in on an appointment. And we showed up for a Sunday morning service, and the preacher got up. It was a missionary Baptist church, and the preacher got up and he began to preach. And the longer he preached, I wasn't convinced that he actually believed that you could be once saved, always saved. I think he was talking himself into the doctrine that you could possibly lose your salvation. And I thought, what kind of a sermon would you, or could you get up and preach, being a missionary Baptist church where I believe by large measure and large part, we all believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, and call yourself a true God-called preacher? Now, I know there are doctrines out there that would say you can lose your salvation. In fact, there are scriptures in our Bible that might even lead you to believe that you could lose your salvation based off some of the wording. But I want to be very clear about something that I think is very important when you go to study the Word of God, is that you realize that the Bible harmonizes itself front to back. And when you look overall, the theme of the Bible, as we know salvation to be, is that once you get it, you've always got it. And I was thinking about Job as I was studying this week about this lesson, and I thought about some of the things that Job endured while he was facing his life here on earth. We know that Job was called out by God to face some of these temptations and these trials. And we know that Job's wife came to him and she said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just get it over with? You know that your life is in shambles, so just get it over with. And Job fell prostrate and he said, I cannot do that. And he began to cry and he began to worship the Lord. Now Job, we know as time went on, he began to face struggles and he began to question some of the things that God was doing to him. But one of the things that Job never did, he never lost his salvation. No matter some of the things that came his way, no matter how hard some of the things were, and I'll say this today as a saved person, I know that it's not hard to live in this world. I know that it's hard to face some of the things that we do. And I know today that there are things that you and I will do that no doubt make us lose the joy of our salvation. But I'm so thankful that once you get that sweet salvation from God, it is sealed until the day of redemption. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians. He says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what we're sealed with? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit seals us. And I believe for extra coverage, that beautiful crimson red blood is put on our soul to make sure that there's not a thing in this world that could wash it away. Now, there are a few things in our lesson text this morning that I want to make mention of. There are some words in there that scare people to death. There is a term in there that says predestinate. Well, there are people today that there's this idea that everybody's predestinated to go somewhere. That God has set aside certain people that can be saved. That if we were here this morning and in this congregation, there are some of you that nothing that happens, you could ever be saved. That you are just hopelessly lost, and I don't feed into that. I believe that God came, as the Bible says, Jesus came, as the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what was lost? Every single one of us that's ever been born into this world full of sin and sorrow. He came to seek and to save everybody that has ever been lost. And I'm thankful this morning that it's that way. But there are those that believe that we are predestined to go somewhere. You're either predestined to go to heaven or you're predestined to go to hell. You know, as I think about God and His mercy and His grace, if you believe that you are predestined to go somewhere, guess what? You would be saying that God is not just. Because a just God has given people the option. And I say that loosely. I don't want anybody here to believe that salvation is a choice. But I want you to know something today. If you ever hope to be saved, you'll have to choose to seek after God, or you will die and go to hell. And there's nothing you can do about it at that point. You are hopelessly and finally lost if you get to that point where you've never sought God for your salvation. And I want to say this also. If you have never sought God for salvation, you are saved. I believe the Bible teaches us that we must seek after God. We must seek after Him until we find Him. And guess what? As I preached the other night at Fairview Memorial, it's like the shepherd going after the lost sheep. As we're seeking for God, He's seeking after us in the same manner. He's out there looking for us because we are lost and we're separated from Him. Now, if you look at these verses of Scriptures, and it says, for whom He did foreknow. Who did He foreknow? He foreknew everybody. Everybody. He knew all about me and you before we ever got here. He was our Creator. Of course He foreknew us. He knew all about you and I. He knew all about you and I before the foundation of this world. And what He gave us, and this is very key in everything, He gave us the ability to have free choice. Now you say, preacher, if He was God and He knew He was going to do that, He knew people were going to fall from grace. And I want to say this, Adam and Eve, they did fall from a happy and holy state. But after that, there's no way that people can fall from grace. They did fall there. They fell hopelessly there. But guess what? There was hope. Even back then, there was hope. But even before then, He knew that people would be making choices. He knew, I believe, that there would be a problem there in the Garden of Eden. The Bible teaches us, and as I told our Sunday school class this morning, I said that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew that there would be a problem where people would separate themselves from Him, and there had to be some way to redeem the lost humanity back to Him. God did foreknow that. He knew in His great infinite wisdom that there would be people that would separate themselves from Him by their ability to have free choice. He said, but He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Who did He predestinate? He predestinated Jesus to be the one that would be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. You know what the Bible says? It says many are called. Well, guess how many is many? I believe it means everyone. It means there are many today. No doubt there are many that are being called, but there are few that are being chosen. What does that mean? It means there are few that are choosing to seek after God when He draws us. Many are called. Oh, I've seen many that have been called. There's another doctrine out there of irresistible grace. That when God deals with you, there's nothing you can do. You have to be saved. And then when He deals with you, you'll do nothing but seek Him. I want you to know something. Guess what? God's grace is resistible. I resisted it for many times and many years. But one night it became something that I could not live without. It became something I needed more than the air that I was breathing. And when it gets to that point, it does become irresistible. But guess what? You can resist the drawing power of God. It happens. I've done that myself. It says, whom He called, them He also justified. You know what happens when you get saved? You become justified. Our own selves, we can't justify ourselves. All the humans can justify just about anything. We will justify our way out of every mess we've ever made. We'll say, well, it's okay because of this reason, or it's okay because of that reason. Well, I want all of us to know something. We are sinners in the hands of an almighty God, and there's no way to justify yourselves out of that except He be the one that does it. And justification comes through our obedience, through our faith. Romans teaches us that, I believe, over the 5th chapter. And I'm thankful that He is the one that justifies us. It says, whom He justified, them He also glorified. I want to make mention of something else this morning. There are people out there that believe you get saved in stages. First you get part of it. And then as you continue on, you get more pieces of it. I don't believe that at all. Amen. Guess what? When you get it, you get it all. You get it all in one lump sum. You know, if I believe that doctrine, I'd be afraid and I'd never leave a church house, because I would make sure that I got it all before I ever had to step back out. But I'm thankful this morning that God doesn't work in pieces and parts. He works in totality. And when He saves a soul, He does it completely the first time. He does it completely and thoroughly and without any need to revisit it. And aren't you glad?
You know, I'm just thinking, Mike is part of the same, you know, after you get saved, you start wanting to do the same thing as you do. I'm glad He said you don't want to, you know. I'm glad He said you don't do the same thing. But, you know, with God's help, man, He is, and He's still working on it. You know, when He had mercy on me for 58 years, or 59, whatever it was. Almost 2 years ago, I was saved. I was a camp missionary on the last day of the Bible Sunday, August 28th, 1916. But, you know, he sure does help me a lot, you know, without being saved. You know, he had mercy on me, but, you know, He helps me more. He helps me help myself and help others. Just to see what the truth is. I never knew it before. And I see it more and more every day. I'm so glad faith is here. I'm so glad these ladies are here. And the other day I stopped talking in the paper with one guy that stand on the side of the road. And first I wanted to do it. I pulled over and handed it back.
look at verse 35, this is the point that I want to get to this morning. What shall separate us from the love of God? I've told you about all these ways that people believe this morning. They believe you can be in a group that can be saved or a group that can't be saved. I want to ask you something. How many of you all would get up in church and preach to a congregation of people that says, well, some of you can go, but the other half of you, no matter what you do, you're hopelessly bound to hell? You think about having to tell your grandchildren. If you had three of them sitting there and say, well, one of you can go, but two of you, guess what? You're bound for hell and you're not going to get any way out of it. I'm thankful that I can get up this morning and say, everybody that ever trusts in Jesus can go to heaven. Everybody that's ever been drawn by God has the ability to be saved. And aren't you glad that it's that way and not the other way?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that I don't have to get up and say, well, you better hope that you're on the good side instead of on the bad side. Well, guess what? You can be on the good side today.
Amen.
You can be. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You want to know what saves us? Your baptism won't save you. I told you that last Sunday. Your good works, they've never saved a soul. The Bible says there's only one good, and that being Jesus Christ. His good works, the way that he lived, was the reason that he could be our sacrifice and our propitiation. That's the reason that he's the one that can condemn us. And you know what the Holy Spirit will do? It will condemn us. It will show us that we are hopelessly lost and in sin. And I'm glad for that this morning. You know, when I was lost, I used to hate when I'd feel the Lord knock on my heart. I'd say, oh, if you'd just go out somewhere and leave me alone, I don't want to feel that. Oh, but I am so glad that the Lord loved me enough that he condemned me.
Yeah.
And I like what the writer did, Paul. He said, it is Christ that died. You want to know something? Next Sunday's Easter. We all know what happened. What they say happened on Easter. And you know, I'm just going to take this watch off. It's messing with my button over here, and I'm tired of putting it, buttoning it and unbuttoning it. But it says, it is Christ that died. I want to tell you one thing. If Christ died and he stays in that tomb, we're all condemned and bound for hell. There would be no hope for us if Jesus goes to the tomb and he lays there. And 3 days later, he never gets up. I want you to know that all throughout his ministry, he would say things like, I'm going to destroy the temple, but in 3 days I'll raise it again. And they were mad because it took years to build that temple. And he said, well, I can destroy it and I can build it in 3 days. He was not referencing a physical tabernacle or a temple. He was referencing himself.
Amen.
He says, I will destroy it, but in 3 days I'm going to make it rise again. And aren't you glad that when they went back and found that tomb and the old stone had been rolled away, there was nobody there.
Amen.
There are people that say somebody went there and got that. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus got up. If he stays in the grave, guess what? We stay dead in trespasses and in sins forever and ever. We stay there. But guess what? The old writer, he said, but rather, he is risen again. He got up and he walked. He got out of there. I don't know that he walked out. I believe he probably just got wherever he needed to go. However that he had to do that. Says he is at the right hand of God who makes intercession for you and I. I've said this often. I'm going to say it again. I hope somebody listens on the internet, or maybe you need it here today. I don't want anybody to ever believe that you can put your trust in another human being. Don't you ever, I believe, a preacher that will step out in front of a congregation and says, you come up here and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and shake my head and you'll go to heaven. I'm telling you, you grab the nearest psalm book, you hit him in the head as hard with that thing as you can, and you get out of there. You don't need that. Nobody needs that kind of way to go to hell. But people today are flocking to places where they're just shaking hands and accepting Christ, and they're not doing a thing that's saving their soul.
Amen.
I preach and I teach about a time and place where the Lord saves your soul. When you get saved,
something happens to you.
Amen.
It does. You feel it. I've heard people say, well, you Baptists, y'all are just emotional. Well, guess what? When God saved my soul, He gave me something to be happy about. And it makes me cry. And it makes me laugh. And it makes me happy.
Amen.
You know why? Because I went from going to hell to on my way to heaven. If that don't make you happy, I don't think anything will.
That's right.
So I want to make this disclaimer. Will you all stop looking so sad all the time? We've got a better place to go. We've got a better place to go. When this life is over, I'm so glad that I've got a better place when this life is over. And it's because my Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Then one night, He looked at me and He said, that one, He's prayed through. He's prayed through. And you know what He did? He took that Holy Spirit and He just sealed that old soul.
Amen.
Now people will say, oh, but Brother Taylor, that's just good for a little while. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard.
That's right.
You think God does things halfway? Mm-hmm. When God does something, He does it all the way.
Amen.
Oh, I hate to believe in a salvation that God might mess up. That He might leave half done. My God doesn't do things that way.
Amen.
Oh, when He saved my soul, He gave me an eternal salvation.
Amen.
Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't believe that, don't believe what I'm telling you. 13th verse of that first chapter, it says, whom ye also trusted. And in that trust, you had to believe and repent of your sins. And through all of that, you had faith. Oh, aren't you glad that after you heard the word of the truth? Now, I'm not one of these preachers that believes you have to hear it from a missionary Baptist. Oh, and I'm thankful that you don't have to hear the truth from a missionary Baptist, but you have to hear the truth. Somebody has to share the gospel with you, whether it's a preacher, a teacher, or a good sister in the church that gets up and begins to tell about the Lord saving her soul. Aren't you glad that you can hear the truth? Aren't you glad you're in a place, in a country, where you can hear the truth? There are people today that are dying because of the truth. Oh, but they truly want it. It says it's the gospel of your salvation. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, in whom also, after that ye believed. You know what I don't see in any of this? What I preached on last week. They don't say a thing in the world about baptism saving your soul. If you found that in there, you wrote it in. And you take it and write it right back out. It says trust and believe. And you know what happens? Repentance and faith, you know what they are? They're inseparable. You can't have one without the other. You can't. They're inseparable graces. But it says you were sealed. And God don't use some sealer that you get down at the 99 cent store. He uses the good stuff. And He seals it up for all eternity. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. God put a down payment on us. What does it say? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. You know what the purchased possession is? Your soul.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen to this whole body one of these days? They're going to find it in the graveyard somewhere. They're going to take me out. They're going to stick me in a coffin. They might cremate me. I don't know what they'll do. Somebody's going to have to do something with this whole body one of these days. But it's going back to the dust of the earth. But my soul is going to heaven when this life is over. God didn't save this old body, but He sure saved my soul.
Amen.
That's the purchased possession. And you know what it is? It's under the praise of His glory. You go back to Romans chapter 8. What's going to separate us? If anybody ever says you can lose your salvation, please read them Romans chapter 8. Now, I know there are verses in there, but you've got to interpret them in the right way. I'll say this about the rules of Bible study. Do not ever take scriptures that are unclear and try to prove scriptures that are clear. You take the clear scriptures and you prove the unclear scriptures. Because I'll tell you this, there's a whole lot more scriptures that support once saved, always saved than there are that prove or teach that you can lose your salvation. What shall separate us from the love of God? What's going to do it? You got anything this morning? I think Paul pretty much run through everything. He said tribulation, bad times. You know what? Sometimes I think when bad things happen to people, they say, well, you know, God just doesn't love me anymore. And he's taking my salvation away, because if he really loved me, I wouldn't have to go through this. That argument doesn't really stand. If you read Trail of Blood, Fox's Book of Martyrs, I'm going to make you mad today. And frankly, I really don't care. I'd rather not upset you. But what I'm about to say is the truth. You may have had a bad day or three down here. Things might not have gone as great as they could, but you've not lost your life for the cause of Christ. You might, but you haven't yet. So it doesn't matter how bad you think your life is. You try being boiled alive. You be taken and you be just completely annihilated. Then you come back to me and say how bad you really are. We'll just see how it stacks up. Or, if you really want to take it one step further, you go be nailed to a cross and just see how wonderful that you really do have it. As bad as you think you have it, remember, Jesus took on more than you'll ever take. Or distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, or any of these things going to separate us from God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Do you remember what he said over in the 31st verse of this scripture? He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? If they kill us all the day long and we're counted as sheep for the slaughter, if God's for us, who's against us? The enemy. And you know what I'd rather stand on? I'd rather stand on God's side than I would on the side of the world any day of the week. It says no or nay in all these things. We are more than conquerors. Through what? Him that loved us. Do you know what happens when we get saved? We become a part of Christ. We do. We become His portion. We become a part of Him. And I'm thankful that we are. But we, through Him, can conquer things. The Bible says, and it's probably quoted among some of the most highly quoted scripture in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, you know what? People will use that so they can do anything through Christ. I can get up and lift my car up if I want to with Christ, because through Him, He strengthens me. Well, you just go out in the parking lot and just start lifting them on your car and see how well that works out for you. I want to hear how your thrown out back works after a while. What he's talking about is through Christ, we can conquer things. We can conquer spiritual things, physical things if the Lord will allow it. But most importantly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what you cannot do on your own? You cannot get saved on your own. God has to strengthen us in order for us to be saved. By our faith, with His faith, we are saved. God does not save us by our faith alone. He saves us at the end of our faith, and He has to give us the faith to believe all the way. If you've ever read Brother Colin's book, it says we believe to the saving of our soul. And you know what happens? Not a one of us has ever had the strength to believe all the way. Because you want to know what? I'm going to be very honest with you about something. I realize what the Bible looks like. People believe it's a fairy tale, and I guess if it was on, it's probably the number one bestseller, and people would say it's a nonfiction book. Well, I want you to know something. This account that we have before us today is as real as anything there ever has been. Told those in our Sunday school class again this morning, there are people that believe Jesus really didn't die on an old cross. They will think that's just a work of fairy tale, and guess what? If you believe that, one of these days you're going to die and go to hell. And bless your heart, if you believe that, that's really what you deserve. Paul goes on, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us? Not one thing. I've got one final argument. From once saved, always saved. And I guarantee you, everybody in this room could probably quote it with me. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but you probably could. Any time that I have this argument or this conversation with people, it's one that I always use. You know it. I'm about to quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting. Is that a quarter of the time? Is that half the time? Three quarters of the time? It is everlasting. Meaning, it is for eternity.
Amen.
And guess what? If you're going to take the Bible, you might as well take that verse of Scripture with it. It says, but have everlasting life. I want to say this, and I'm going to close. Brother Colin, if you would, get us a song together. If God's promises are sure, and they are good promises. Now, if I make a promise to you, there's a chance that I might not be able to keep it. But God's promises are sure. And if He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, you know what you can do? I'm not a betting man, and I don't encourage you to be either. But you can hedge everything in this life against that promise because it's sure. If you've been saved today, and you know about a time or place you're going to save your soul, that is all you're ever going to get. Now, I want to say this. David teaches us that we can lose the joy of our salvation. Every one of us has probably faced a time in our Christian walk where we have been cold, we've been indifferent, and we've just not really felt as very close to the Lord. I've been there, you've been there, we've all been there. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It does not mean you're not going to heaven. It just means you need to work a little harder on your relationship with the Lord to restore or rekindle the flame of salvation.
Amen.
And you know what? It doesn't hurt for us to repent about that.
Amen.
Repentance is not just for lost people.
Right.
It is for everybody all the time.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you know about a time and place where the Lord saved your soul, but maybe this morning you feel hopeless. There's just an emptiness inside. You need to pray. And you need to ask God to either restore the joy of your salvation or save your soul. Because if you didn't get it, you need it. I want to close by saying this. If I'm going to live in this world, and I know that one of these days I'm going to finish up my course. And if I'm going to live in this world and have day-to-day things take place, and I have to face the reality that I'm going to die, I sure want some insurance on that day. I told the church at Fairview Memorial this the other night because that day, I had canceled a life insurance policy for myself because through my work, I had a new one that's quite a bit more than the one that had taken out, and this one was going to go up in its premiums. And just to be frank, I didn't think that it was one that I needed to continue paying. But you know, I have insurance in case that I die, that my funeral expenses or my living expenses are not a burden on my family. Now, I'm not an insurance salesman, but I'd encourage all of you, if you don't have it, to get it. It's a good thing to have. But my question is are you insured even further? You cannot go down to Allstate or State Farm or Geico and say, hey, you know what, I'd like to be insured beyond the grave. They would look at you like you have lost your mind. Randy Fox sings the song, I'm insured beyond the grave. Well, one night, you all heard me say this, probably already in the sermon, I got down on my knees before the Lord, and I began to cry out to Him and seek His face for salvation. And He gave me that peace, and He gave me that Holy Spirit. And because of that, I'm insured way beyond the grave.
Amen.
And thank God this morning I'm not going to hell. Can you really, once saved, always be saved? My answer is yes, you can. If you've got it, it's the best thing there ever has been. It's good to live with, but it's the only thing to die with. While we stand together and while we sing.